Today's daf is Yevamis daf peites, and we are 18 lines from the bottom of daf peches amid beis. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Avadya ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Devorah bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Baruch ben Rachel, Malka Miriam bas Esther, Sar Nechama bas Rus, Malka Miriam bas Rivka, Leah Gittel bas Devorah, and Esther Kreindel bas Devorah. Today's daf is also being learned Leilu Nishmas, Shlomo ben Yibada Lechaim Toivim, Reb Chaim Toiv. So yesterday we began the 10th parak of Masechtas Yevamis, parak Ha'isha Rab, which begins with a tzior. Ha'isha shahalach bailo l'medina sayam. There was a married woman whose husband went to medina sayam. Uvo va'amru la, and then an eid echad came and told her, meis bailech, your husband died. V'nises, and based on the testimony of this eid echad, she got married. V'achakach ba bailo, and then her original husband showed up, clearly implying that what this eid echad said was not correct. Da'loch is teitzei mizeh u'mizeh. She's not allowed to stay married to this second husband because Igloy Milslam afraid that she was an HSH. Additionally, she's not allowed to go back and live with her original husband. And then the Mishnah mentioned a whole bunch of other halachas that are going to be in play as a result of this halacha. Now, as we saw already in the beginning of the sugya, the entire premise of this din is predicated on a very big chiddush, and that is that if an Eid Echad says to a married woman, I was with your husband, I saw him die, the halach is that that Eid Echad is believed. Why is that a chiddush? It's a chiddush for two reasons. Because although it's true that sometimes you find that we accept the testimony of an Eid Echad, but for sure this case does not fit into such a category. Number one, an Eid Echad is believed when it comes to areas of Isser V'Heter, which to a degree is what this is. However, Eid Echad Nemen B'Yisurim is only where it's not going keneged a chazaka. But Heichad is chazak Yisura, an Eid Echad is not believed. Over here, this woman was Becheskas Eish Esish. So to believe the Eid Echad is a chiddush. Additionally, there's a rule, Ein Dover Shebe Erva Pachas Mishnai. That anytime you have a situation that has implications of Arayos, you always need to aid them. Clearly, a married woman being told that she's allowed to marry somebody else has arayas implications, and it's for that reason, really, an eid echad shouldn't be believed. Stating that, mishum aguna kilu bei rabbanon, the rabbanon were mekel, and the rabbanon said that in this situation, this woman is going to be allowed to get married. Now, the Gemara is going to begin with a comment that Shmuel made on the Mishnah. Shmuel is going to make a very specific, as we'll see, a kinta in the way he understood Pasha Pshan in the Mishnah, which, by the way, is not so unlike what Rav did in the end of yesterday's talk. But Shmuel now is going to make an akimta in the Mishnah, and really, in order to understand what Shmuel is about to do, and the nuances that the Gemara is going to mention, we just have to make one tiny little bit of hakdama. And that is that it's rare that you find that the Torah would believe the Eidus of an Eid Echad. But there are times that you do. The most classic example is the sugyas that we're starting to learn now. And that is Be'edus Isha. An Eid Echad is believed to tell a married woman that your husband died. So two important dinim as it relates to where Chazal said this chiddush that we're going to trust an Eid Echad. Number one, Ula said, "Kamakim shehemina Torah Eid Echad harei kan shnayim." That wherever the Torah believed in Eid Echad, we trust this Eid Echad as if he would be two. Meaning, if we believe the Eid Echad, we believe him as if he's two Eidim, and there's no difference between him and two Eidim wherever we believe two Eidim. So really, this Eid Echad that says Meis Bailech has an amanus as if he would be two Eidim. Number two is something Rav Nechemya said. Rav Nechemya said, "Kamakim shehemina Torah Eid Echad." Wherever the Torah believed the Eid Echad, haleich achar roiv deyos. Then, in the event that you have Eidim that are makrish each other, meaning you have an Eid that says this and the other Eid says just the opposite, and you start tallying up how many people said one way and how many people said the other way, ultimately the achra is going to be roiv. You go based on roiv deyos. So if roiv people said one way, then you're going to go that way. If roiv people said another way, you're going to go another way. So two important members, both which are going to be quoted at the very beginning of today's daf. Ula, kol makim shemina toirei dechad arei kan shnayim. Ram Nechemyo, kol makim shemina toirei dechad haleich achar roiv deyos. Another important thing that we need to know is that wherever the Torah believes in eidechad, we believe psulim as well. So for example, a woman is possible eidos. But a woman would be believed to tell a married woman, your husband died, so that she can go marry somebody else. The Gemara is going to have a little bit of a discussion as it relates to Reb Nechemya's halacha that kol makim shehemina toirei dechad haleich achar roiv deyos. Is that true? Even when there's an eight kosher in the picture, Or is it only true when they're psulim? So for example, if you have a situation where an eid echad says one way, and two eidim say the other way, if it's a makim shemina tayre eid echad, the two is going to be machriya keneged the one. Is that true regardless of whether the eid echad is a kasher and the two eidim are psulim or vice versa? Or maybe the only time that's true is when they're all pasul. So if the eid echad is pasul, and then the two eidim are pasul, so then you're going to go basar roif. Meaning, we accept eidim psulim when it comes to situations that an eid echad is believed, and then you go basar roif deyos. But in the event, let's say that the eid echad was an eid kosher, and now two eidim psulim went against him, maybe in that situation we would not believe the two eidim. That is going to be one of the sub-themes of this Gemara. Again, the Gemara is really a comment that Shmuel made on the halacha of the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to try to clarify and understand Shmuel's halacha a little bit better. Ultimately, there's going to be two mahalchim in the Gemara, how to understand Shmuel. And in the course of these few lines of Gemara, the Gemara is going to get into a little bit some of these dinim that we just introduced as it relates to the nemanis of an edach. So Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, Lo yishanu da halacha the Mishnah. That said, an eid echad said, your husband died. She got married based on the testimony of the eid echad. Then her husband showed up. The halach is teitzei mizeh mizeh. So the only time that halach is teitzei from the second husband, meaning you'd think for sure teitzei from the second husband. So Shmuel, no. The only time teitzei from the second husband is elosh lei machashli. If she herself, this woman, is not denying that this is her husband. Avo machashli, but if she denies this is her husband, loy teitzei, then the halach is, she's allowed to stay married. Now, we're talking about a situation where the woman is denying that this is her husband. So obviously we don't know for sure it's her husband, right? The case probably was where she was married at a young age. He was very young. He showed up 10 years later, and now all of a sudden he looks different. He left. He was a teenager. He showed up. He's an adult man. So there's a whole shaila. It is the husband. It's not the husband. Says Shmuel, if she says this is not my husband, then why teitzei? She could stay married to the second. She does not have to assume that this is really the husband. And the truth is she has something supporting her, because she had an eid echad that once came that said that your husband died. So really, she got married based on the testimony of an eid echad. 10 years later, some guy showed up. Vayavai, I'm the husband. Mechateisa. No one really recognizes him. No one's really sure. And it's for that reason, the halacha is that in the event that she denies, the din will be loy teitzei. But the Gemara says that if this man just walked in and said, I'm your husband, and no one has any idea who he is, then we're not having this conversation. Obviously, someone is supporting it. And Eidecha to Eidim. So the Gemara says, let's understand the case a little bit better, and then let's see if we can understand Shmuel's halacha. But Mayaskin, Elim, and Beitreiz are talking about where this man that showed up had two Eidim supporting him and saying that this is the husband. So why does it help that she is denying? You can't deny two Eidim. Meaning, if two Eidim are saying this is the husband, so this is the husband. How could Shmuel say that? If she denies it, it doesn't matter if she denies it. There are two eidim that are saying, I know we were with him the entire time. He is the husband. El Bechad, must be it's talking about where there was only an eid echad that came. And because it was only an eid echad, that's why she's believed. So the Gemara says, but one second. If it was an eid echad, then why does she even have to deny? Time of the makashtoi, the only reason she's the last day married is because she denied. Hoshasko, if she would be quiet, teitzei, then the halacha would be teitzei. V'amar ulo, ulo said, kamakash bin the Torah eid echad, arikan shnayim. Wherever the Torah believes in eid echad, the Torah believes in like two. And an eid echad is not believed keneged to. Meaning, she has an eid echad that's supporting her argument that this is not her husband. Which eid echad? The eid echad that said way back when that your husband died. That eid echad really should not have been believed. The Torah was mechadish that we believe in. Kol makam shemin the Torah eid echad, harei kan shnayim. Which means he's believed like two eidim. This new eid echad that's saying that this is the husband is not a chiddush that we believe him. He's just a regular eid echad. The only time you have kamak shemini tayr eid echad rikan shnayim is where it's a chiddush that you believe the eid echad. So that original eid echad is a chiddush that we believe. This eid echad is not a chiddush that we believe. So in this case, time is the Gemara that the eid echad that said your husband died is really like two eidim saying that this is not the husband, essentially saying the same thing. The eid echad that comes and says this is the husband is an eid echad. One is not believed keneged two. So if that's the case, l'chura, if all it is an eid echad, then we shouldn't be gairus what the eid echad says, and she should be able to stay married. So the Gemara says, Maman of Shach. Shmuel said, if she denies it, well, we look at her and we say, is he your husband or not your husband? You're going to be the one that's going to make the call. You're going to make this decision. Faith the Gemara Maman of Shach. If there are two eidim that's saying it's the husband, then she has no vote. She's not believed keneged two eidim. And if it's only an eid echad, she doesn't need a vote because she already has two eidim supporting her. So it shouldn't really matter. So the Gemara says, Hachem Ma'yaskin, and you have to say, you know, it was talking about the psulei eidus. It's talking about with the two eidim that showed up to say that this is the husband were really posel edim. So there were two edim. However, these were people that were posel edim. Ukid Rav Nechemya and Pshat in Shmuel's halacha is predicated on Rav Nechemya. Rav Nechemya that we spoke at in the introduction. The Tanya Rav Nechemya Emer Kamak B'Shemid Teir Eid Echad Halech Achar Roiv Deyos V'Asur Shtei Noshim B'Sh Echad K'Shnei Anoshim B'Sh Echad. That Rav Nechemya said that you always go Basar Roiv Deyos. So wherever there's a face-off, you're always going to go based on the Roiv. So in this case, being that there were two Edim, so if she wouldn't deny, you'd end up having two against one. Because you have the original Eid Echad that said your husband died. But now you have two Edim going Keneged that are saying that really it is the husband. So if she would be quiet, we would accept the two Edim. Now what was the Kasha? If there were two Edim, then even if she denies, she shouldn't be believed. Because you can't go Keneged to Edim. The Teretz says they're Edim Sulim. And because they're Edim Sulim, even though they're believed in this Sugyan, this whole Sugyan, we believe Edim Sulim. But if she goes Keneged to Edim Sulim, then she'll be believed. If they were Edim Ksherim, she couldn't go Keneged to Edim Ksherim. But being that they're Edim Psulim, therefore she can go against it. And because she can go against it, therefore she'll be believed. So the bottom line is, what was Shmuel's Halacha? Shmuel's Halacha was in the event that the husband showed up. But we're not sure that this is the husband. He has two Edom saying that it is. Those two Edom are Edom Psulim. Then the halacha is that if she's quiet, then it is what it is. Doesn't she have the original Eid Echad supporting her? But in this case, that Eid Echad is going up against two. And you go based on Rav Deyos. And Rav Deyos are saying that this is the husband, and therefore she would have to be Teitzei Mizeh Mizeh. If, however, she denies it, even though she's going against two Edim, but she has an amanus to be makhish to Edim, and because she has an amanus to be makhish to Edim, in that case, she will be believed. Either way, so the Gemara just explained the first Mahalach and Shmuel. The Iba Yaseima, alternatively, and just to speak this out, Baal Peh, the second Teretz of the Gemara is going to be identical to the first Teretz of the Gemara. It's going to be the same exact Akimta that Shmuel was talking about with the Edom that came with Edom Psulim. Had she been quiet, you'd go Basar Rev Deyas, but because she was Makhish, she's believed, and she's never to be Makhish to Edom Psulim. The only difference is going to be is that in the first Lishna of the Gemara, it was okay that the original Eid Echad that said Meis Bailech was an Eid Kasha. Because Rav Nechemya's halach of Halech Achar Roiv Deyas, according to the first Lishna of the Gemara, is true. Even if the original aid was an aid kasha. In the Iba Yaseima, the only thing that's going to change is the Gemara is of the opinion that Rav Nechemya only said you go bas of Rav Deyas in the event that the original aid was an aid posel. So if Pshat and Shmuel is predicated on Edom Psulim coming and Halech Achar Rav Deyas, so you're just going to have to make one tweak in the an additional Akimta in Shmuel's Halacha, and that is Shmuel's Halacha is talking about where Edom showed up. The Edom were Edom Psulim, and also that the original Ed was an Ed Pasul, which again is fine, because we believe in Ed Pasul when it comes to Ed Asisha. But you're going to have to say that original Ed was an Ed Kasher, and that's why you could go Basar Roiv there. So the same Teretz of the Gemara, same Signon, that's the only difference. Viva Yisem, Kalechat, Asa Ed Kasher, Meikara. Viva Yisem, Shmuel would hold that if an Ed Kasher would have came Lechatchil, Afil Mein Ashim, Keidachadam, that even if 100 women would come later, it wouldn't be more than an Ed Echad, because you don't go Basar Roiv there in that case. An Ed Kasher is better or the same as 100 Edim. But Shmuel's going to make an ekimta, and the Mishnah going to ask Isha Meikar. It's talking about the original aid was an Isha. If that's the case, you just have to tweak a little bit the Lashon Rav Nechemya. Rav Nechemya said, "Kamakshim in the Torah Eidachad Alei Chacha Rav Deis." Whoever the Torah believes in Eidachad, you go Basar Rav Deis. For Asu Shtei Noshim Be Isha Achas. And what does it mean? It means when they're all psulim. So this is the shinui. Two women connected one woman is kishnei anoshim v'shechel. Like two men connected one man. Avol shtei noshim v'shechel. But if it be two women connected one man, kapalgo palgodami, then it's going to be like palgo palgo. The original lishna of Rav Nechemya. The original lishna was kol makim shemin the teirei dechod halechach aroiv deyos v'asu shtei noshim v'shechel kishnei anoshim v'shechel. But shtei noshim v'shechel. That's not true. It's not shtei noshim v'shechel. It's shtei noshim b'isha achas. But regardless, the teretz is the same. The teretz is that you go basa roiv deyos, and being that you go basa roiv deyos, therefore if she would be quiet, these two edim would be believed. However, if she's makhish, then the halacha is, you can be makhish to edim, and from here until the end of the daf is going to be from 7.5 years ago recording from the Letz de Machzer. So the first Mishnah in the new perek, Ha'isha Rabbah, began with a story. Ha'isha Shehalach Baila Lemdina Sayam, married woman whose husband went Lemdina Sayam, and back in the day where communication wasn't the way it is today, a woman's husband can go to Medina Sayyam, not hear from him for a very long time, and thus there were many aguna shailas that used to resolve. So the story is that her husband doesn't come back for a little while, and then an eid echad comes to Bezdin and says that I met Mr. So-and-so, Medina Sayyam, I saw him die, his wife is no longer an aguna, she's not an ish sis, she's allowed to get married. So the case was where she went and got married, and then her husband showed up, he was really alive. So the Mishnah says that although technically this woman was never married to, she got married to somebody else, and then her husband came, that's the important piece. So says the Mishnah that although technically she was never married to the second man, because she was always married to the first man, and a woman cannot be married to two men at the same time. However, the halach is teitzei mizeh umizeh. She has to leave her second husband. We'll see exactly how that works. And her first husband as well. She's not to go back to live with her first husband. And the reason is because we treat this woman as a soita. And just like an eshes ish that would be mezana berotzen would become usher not only to the boil but to her husband as well. That's the halacha of soita. This woman, although she was nises al pi edechod, although she was nises al pi bezdin, she gets treated as a soita, and the halacha is that not only can she not live with the second man, she will not be able to live with the first man either. And the Mishnah goes through a whole bunch of different halachas that would be negeya this case. The one that the Gemara is going to discuss right now is tzricha get mizeh mizeh. The Mishnah said that not only can she not live with either one of these two men, but she would need a get from both of these men either. So the obvious question is going to be, says the Gemara, Bishlam and Mirishan, Bishlam, I understand why this woman would need a get from the first husband. Tiboy get, because she was married to him. So she was married to the first husband. Nothing ever happened for her not to be married. We thought he died, but he hadn't died. So she is still married to him. If she's married to him, now she's going to go marry somebody else. She would have to get a get first from her first husband. But why does she need a get from the second husband's Nusba Almahu? They were never married. They thought they were married. There was a chuppah and a kedushin and a chasen and everything else. But realistically, the kedushin was never chal. And the kedushin wasn't chal simply because she had still been married to the first person. So all it was a maises nus in hindsight. So in hindsight, now that we know the facts that she was never married to the second person, why would she need a get from the second person? Amar Rafunas, Rafunas said, you're right. Midei Raisa, she doesn't need a get. It's only midrabanan that she needs a get. Gzeiru shema yoimru, girish zeh, v'nasa zeh. People may not know everything that happened. They may know that Pliny and Plinius got married, and then they're going to hear that he let her go and never gave her a get, and people are going to think that it was a regular kedushin and nesuin, the original kedushin and nesuin. V'nimtzas eishes ish yoitz v'le get, and it's going to come out that perhaps an eishes ish is allowed to get divorced without an actual get. So there's a terrible churban that can come if we wouldn't force this man to give her a get, because although technically you're right, they weren't married, but they certainly look like they were married. I mean that they look like they were married to prevent people thinking that a married couple can separate without a get. They said, in this case, simply because it looks like they were married, he has to give her a get. Ihachi, but the Gemara says, that's very nice to explain this Mishnah. But there's a Mishnah later in the Perek that discusses a very similar case to our Mishnah. In that case, this second person never did nesuin with this woman, meaning when this woman got edus that her husband was alive, so she got up, married somebody else, but not nesuin, all he did was kedushin. And there the Mishnah says, being that they only did kedushin, so the halacha is a little bit different. What does the Mishnah say? All she did was kedushin with the second man, and then her husband came, then the halacha is, she's allowed to go back and live with her original husband. So what's the Gemara's kasha? Meaning there's a chiluk between if she did nesuin or kedushin. But if the whole reason that she needs a get from the second person is simply because of Xera, people shouldn't think that you could have Nesuin and then leave without a get. So if all there was Kedushin, you have the same Chash. People are going to say, oh, there was Kedushin and then she left with a get. So Bishleim of Pshat in our Mishnah is something else. So you have to know what that is. But then perhaps you'd be able to make sense between why there's a Chilik between Kedushin and Nesuin. But if this is Pshat in our Mishnah, that the reason she needs a get from the Sheni is because of the fact that Shema Yoimru, people are going to think that a Ishas Ish can be Yoitzvah Leget,
get, then there's no difference if there was kedushin or if there was nesuin. Says the Gemara, some nami name a girish zev a kiddush zev nimtza eishes eshe yitzav lo get. Zok the Gemara la'olam bo you get. No, who said in that case you don't need to get? All the Mishnah said was that amrula meiz bailech v'neskatcha v'achakach ba baila muteres lachsoloi. All the Mishnah said was is that she's allowed to go back to live with her original husband. Now the Gemara assumed if she's allowed to live with the original husband, that probably means that she doesn't need to get from the second person. We look at it as if the whole thing was a tois, you're really married to the first guy, not to the second guy, so everything is fine. So the Gemara, that's not what it means. No, really she will need to get from the second person. However, she's going to be allowed to go back and marry the first person. But the Gemara's cash is, if that's true, so you need to get from the sheni, and then you're allowed to go back and marry the rishon, then there's another chash, another takal that can maybe happen. Just like you're concerned in the Reisha, the Mishnah, that people may think that a married woman is yoytze b'leget, in the Sefer of the Mishnah, there's a different chash. Because what does it look like happen now? It looks like she was married to this first man, then he gave her a get. Well, it's not really what happened. We thought he had died, and that's why she married the second person. But again, the assumption is we don't know everything. Well, you know, we don't have all the information. She got married.
What about the same thing as the also the Bible of the vow?
Not sure. So then she went and married, not following. Then she married the second person. She married the second person. All she had was Erison. He gave her a get. Now she's going to marry the first person. Problem is, isn't that machzeh grushasoy? You're not allowed to be machzeh grushasoy. Now the truth is, it's not machzeh grushasoy because the get that the sheni gave wasn't a real get. But she doesn't know that. See, people don't know that. It's going to look like machzeh grushasoy. Says the Gemara, you're right. It looks like machzeh grushasoy. But the Mishnah is going Rabbi Yosi ben Kippur. The Amar min anasun asura min erison muteres. We had Rabbi Yosi ben Kippur in the first parak of Masechtas Yevamos in the sugya of Tzoras machzeh grushasoy. Where Rabbi Yosi ben Kippur said the only time there's a nisa machzeh grushasoy is if somebody divorces his wife, she has nesuin to somebody else. Then either he dies or gives her a get, then he's not allowed to be machzeh grushasoy. But if all they had was erison, there's no machzeh grushasoy. In this case, all there was erison. Therefore, it's not an issue of machzeh grushasoy. But then there's another kasha. Amidik tani seifa, that seifa, again, the next Mishnah, when she had erison or kedushin with the second person, the Mishnah over there says, afa bishanasam la'achrin get, lo'y pasam anakuhuna. That if the sheni gives a get, she doesn't become pasam anakuhuna. Says the Gemara, michal de'lo'y boy get, that should be a raya that he didn't have to give her a get. He punked one and gave a get. He wasn't supposed to. So the halach is that it gets not a get, and therefore she does make a pasim a kahuna. Because the ipa you get, because if you're going to tell me like you want to learn now, that really she does need a get, I might lay pasim a kahuna. Why isn't she pasim a kahuna? Meaning she should be pasim a kahuna, because although she wasn't a chi of get midday raisa, but if midrabanan you're being mechaber to give a get, then the rabbanan again should be concerned that people are going to think that a grusha is muteres l'kayin, and we know grusha is also l'kayin. So elamai should be a right that there is no chi of get. So it's Hadra Kushula Duchte, says the Gemara, you're right. Ella, you have to say Seifa, the reason in the Seifa, we weren't concerned. Now, we didn't obligate the second person to give her a get, and that's why she's allowed to go and marry the first person, go back to her original husband, is because although there is a possibility that people are going to think that an Eishas Ish is being Muteris L'shuk below get, but there's another possibility. People may know the truth. Amri, people may think Kiddushe Toysava. Who says that people won't have the facts, and as a result, a michshol may come? Maybe people will have the facts, but the Gemara says, "Reisha nami amr nisur toyasava." Then how do you understand the reisha? If people will have the facts in the Sefer, why don't you assume people will have the facts in the Reisha? And this with the Gemara finally gives us the answer. And the Gemara says, Reisha, Nami amr nisur, kansur rabbanon. Now in the Reisha, we're concerned because of a knas. Sefer, Nami lik nisur. Reisha da avda isura kansura sefer the loy avda isura loy kansura bana. Meaning, the reason that she needs a get from the sheni is because the chachamim gave her a knas. The reason that she doesn't need a get from the sheni in the second mishnah, where all she had was kedushin from the second person, is because over there the chachamim did not give her a knas. Aren't you concerned that people may think that an ish is yoytza b'loy get? No, we're not concerned. And the reason we're not concerned is because we assume that people will know the facts. In our case where we want to punish her, so there we're going to be toilu l'chumra, and we're going to say that although it's possible people will know the facts, but it's also possible people will not know the facts, and as a result, we're giving her a knas, and we're saying that she has to get a get from Mesheni. But Enochinami, without the svara of knas, just to be concerned that people are going to think that an Eishes Ish is Yoytzel L'Shuk B'Leget, that's not something that we are going to be concerned with. So at the end of the day, the reason that this woman will need a get from the Sheni, although technically she was never married to the Sheni, is simply the Chachamim gave her a Knas. The getter of the Knas was, is that let's be Chayish, that maybe people will think that if she doesn't get a get, that an Eishes Ish is Yoytzel B'Leget. Although she wasn't an Eishes Ish, but maybe people will be confused. But we're only going to be toila that people will be confused to the extent that there's a reason to give her a knas. Because that tliya l'chumra is in its very nature a knas. So in the reish of the Mishnah where she did an isser, what was the isser? The isser was that she was a married woman and she married somebody else. Over there we cancer. In the sefer, we do not cancer. Now what really emerges from this gemara is a very interesting thing. This woman, when she got married to the sheni, she didn't do it just on her own. She did it based on a psak Bezdin. And Eidechot came. The halacha is that Be'edas Isha, we accept the Eidos of an Eidechot. So an Eidechot walked into Bezdin, said that I know that this woman's husband died. She listened, she followed what the Eidechot said. She got married. It turned out that the Eidechot was lying, or that he was mistaken, that there was an issue over here. Being that she ultimately did an Isser, the Isser was she was a married woman that was now living with somebody else. Although she followed the Eidechot, we give her a slap on the wrist. We assume that she did something wrong. We give her a knas. She needs a get from the Sheni, which clearly was a knas for her. We're punishing her for what she did. And the obvious question is, why are we punishing her for what he did? So it was Mavur, yesterday's daf, that although she followed the Eidechot, she should have been more careful. And there's an idea that sometimes you're doing something right, and you're not maliciously, with any malice, doing something wrong, doesn't matter. If you're plesheya and you're not careful enough in what you're doing, you can be punished for that. And that's clearly the whole idea over here. The Rabbanan are canceling this woman simply for not being careful enough. And just to that, what's that?
What more can she do?
She should have done a little better due diligence. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. So, so just to digress for a moment, and it's really a little bit the topic of what's going to come in the remainder of the daf, that this idea of not being careful enough, of being peshaya, and that's really the yisayit of a shaygik. Right? You find in the Torah that if somebody doesn't have veira b'shaygik, so he was a shaygik. He was mechal Shabbos, but he didn't realize it was Shabbos. Or he was mechal Shabbos, he didn't realize that he was doing was a malacha, was something that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. So the halacha is, he needs a kapara. Shaygik sometimes even has to bring a carbon chatas. A shaygik is someone that clearly needs a kapara. Why does a shaygik need a kapara? He didn't do it willingly. There was no malice when he went and did the avera. So the avera really that the shaygik always does is the fact that he's a peshaya. He just wasn't careful enough. You didn't know it was Shabbos. You know what? You should have known it was Shabbos. Or you didn't know it was this was the halacha. Why didn't you learn Hilchah Shabbos? Mishnah Berurah says in his Akdamata, Chelek Gimel of Mishnah Berurah, he quotes the Aris Tashah. Someone that doesn't learn Hilchah Shabbos, there's no way that he's not Mechal Shabbos. All right, say Nechanam, you're a Shoigig, but you should have learned Hilchah Shabbos. So there's an idea of Shoigig needing a kapara simply because the Shoigig always should have been more careful. The Gemara Masech, the Shabbos, the Aftal Ramon Aleph, the Gemara says a Yesoi that's often quoted, Ein Oimrim La'odin Chatei, Kedei She'ezakech Avera. That we don't tell Reuven to do a little Avera, to bail Shimon out from doing a bigger Avera. Tosis has stiras, and Tosis comes out, that when do you say, Ein Oimrim La'odin Chatei, Kedei She'ezakech Avera? That's if the Avera we're bailing Shimon out from was something that he was a Peshayon. So he willingly was a Peshayon, the Avera that he was doing. So you're not Mechuyev to bail him out. Even if the Avera you're going to do is going to be a lesser Avera than the Avera that you're bailing him out from doing. But let's say Shimon was going to do an Avera Ba'inus. He wasn't a Peshayon. Just somehow he's in a situation, the Tosis case is by the Chatziyev and Chatzim and Chayon, that we force the Adin to give his Chatziyev and Chatzim and Chayon to get Shichr. Tosis asks Akasha, why do you force the Adin? Because the Chatziyev and Chatzim and Chayon has to get married. And he can't marry anybody. He can't marry Baschayon, he can't marry Shivcho. Says for that reason we force the Adin. Forcing the Adon to free his slave is forcing him to do an Aveir. So you're not allowed to free your Eved Kanani. On the side that he's an Eved Kanani, you're not allowed to give him a Get Shichur. So Tosfos says, you're right, but a mitzvah that you're trying to get him to do is a much bigger mitzvah than the Isser that you're going to violate, because the mitzvah Puravu is a mitzvah Rabbah, and Loyal Bem Tavaydu is not such a big mitzvah. I ain't Urban Lotm Chatek Tejazaka Chavir. So Tay says, because over there, the Chatzim Chatzim didn't know anything wrong. He was a Chatzim Chatzim Chavir, and it punked happened that way, and as a result, he's not a Peshe. You're not a Peshe. A person like that, we're going to bail out. But an ordinary person, we won't bail out. The case that the Gemara is discussing of Ein Oiv Lan Chadei Kedesh is actually Chaveret, that Tosfos says is only true because the person that's doing the big Aveira was a Pesheya, was when a person did an Aveira B'Shoigig. And Tosfos says Mefurish, that although you were a Shoigig, you were a Pesheya. And because you were a Pesheya, it's for that reason, Ein Oimrim La'odan Chadei Kedesh is actually Chaveret. It's just because somebody did an Aveira B'Shoigig doesn't necessarily mean that he wasn't negligent. His negligence was that he should have been more careful. And being that he should have been more careful, it's for that reason we're going to punish him. There's an interesting Rabbeinu Yonah in Mishlei. Rabbeinu Yonah is Perik Dalid, Pasuk Chaf. And it's a long Rabbeinu Yonah. Teich Dvar, he says as follows. V'hinei teda, ki oinesh misha eino zahir v'lo yishamer men apshiyos, the punishment for someone who's not careful, meaning he's negligent, karev u'lemezid, is very close to the punishment that somebody gets for doing somebody, for doing an aver b'mezid. Afal pisha hu shoygig be'isachet, even though this person was a shoygig when he did the aver, I mean, he didn't realize that he was doing something wrong. So being that he was peshe, he was negligent, although he didn't have kavana b'meizet to do the avera, on shoyrov, he's going to get a very big punishment. And Rabbi Yonah quotes the Mishnah in Ovis that says, "Hevizor b'talmid kishigas talmud elazad." What does it mean? Be careful what you're learning, because if you're going to forget your learning, you may do an avera. It's true. If you do an Aveira because you didn't know or because you forgot you were a Shoigig, but you're going to be very similar to, very close to a Mezid, because why? Who asked you to forget? You should have Chazed, you wouldn't have forgotten, and then you wouldn't know the Halacha. So there's an idea that a Shoigig, again, although he didn't do it to Mezid, but he's carved the Mezid because of his Pshia. Then he says something interesting. He says, the Torah says, he shomer l'cho, shmar nafshecha, moed, pentishkach, hasadvar, mashiro, einecho, upen yasuru, muvavecho, right, so this psukei Torah that says you have to watch yourself. So he says like this. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, what does that mean? What's the Torah coming to say? The Torah is coming to say that a person has a chiyuv shmira. He has to watch himself. Watch yourself from what? Don't be a pesheya. Don't be negligent. Vine husharnu min haTorah al dvar azehirus shloy lef shoya b'shmiras hamitzvah shenem shomer l'chosh manafshecha me'oid pentishkach. Hine ki hashecheach afal pi shehu shogig be'eso aveira over al azoras hamikra hazeh ba'asher posh.
And just the lashonis that the Torah uses shows how careful a person has to be when he watches himself. And then he says that if the Torah said that a person is obligated to watch himself, not to do mitzvahs, so he says, think of a shomer pekadin. So we're familiar with the dalet shomerim. Even the shomer whose halachas are the most lenient is the shomer chinam, and the shomer chinam is also chayv and pesheya. So the Torah gave you a chiyuv shmira. At least you're a shomer chinam, and just like a shomer chinam is chayv if he's pesheya and then something happens, a person who does an avera b'shoigig is going to be a pesheya, and just like the shomer chinam is going to be chayv and pshia, he'll be chayv and pshia as well. The one last tushtel that's kedai to speak out on this is the Ramban that we've spoken at in the past, in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, where the Ramban quotes the Teres Kainim that says that why was a carbon oila brought? Teres doesn't say why you bring a carbon oila. We know why you bring a chatas and a nosham, but why do you bring a carbon oila? So Rashi quotes the Teres Kainim in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra that Torah doesn't mention why. It must be, the reason is, just by process of elimination. It can't be pshoigig, that's a chatas. It can't be this, that's the asham is for what that's brought. We know why the Torah is brought. We know why karbanos are brought. So why do we bring the karban oila? It must be to be mechaper on mitzvah saseh, and to be mechaper on a lav shenitik lase. Incidentally, I looked up the Rashi again last night. So what struck me was, we spoke in Perika Oro. We had a discussion about if somebody does a lav shenitik lase, you don't get malchus for a lav shenitik lase. Is that a simin that the avera, the lav shenitik lase, is less chomer than the lav hanitik lase, than the lav she'ine nitik lase, or is it more a technicality? So we spoke at Reb Kiveger and Shulchan Aruch regarding the halacha of amavazviz al yavazviz yosim mechaymish. By mitzvahs I say the rule is al yavazviz yosim mechaymish. By mitzvahs I say you have to give up all your money not to do a lois I say. What about a lav shenitik lase? What about a lav she'ine meis? Reb Kiveger brings a machlikis apoyskim regarding lav she'ine meis. We said probably the same shayla regarding lav shenitik lase, but he have a Rashi. The ulus mechaper on asay and on lav shenitik lase lumps them together. The same ulah has a koyach mechaper on lav shenitik lase, just like it has which would seem to imply some similarity. But the Ramban asks Akasha, process of elimination, we weren't sure what the oil is mechaper on. We say that it's mechaper on someone that does an assay, or it does a lav shenitik lasay. Maybe
the oila is mechaper for an aver b'shoigig that chatas is not mechaper for. Because what is chatas? When does a person bring a chatas? If he doesn't have aver that had he done amazing, he would have been chayv koris. Then b'shoigig, he brings a carbon chatas. So maybe you bring a carbon oila if you do an aver b'shoigig that had you done amazing, you wouldn't have been chayv koris. Like if somebody eats nevela b'shoigig, maybe that's the case where you would have to bring a carbon chatas. Says the Ramban, it can't be that's what it is. Meaning, if you have a choice that maybe oila is being mechaper on nevela b'shoigig, or it's being mechaper on someone who didn't bring dalad minim on sukkahs, b'mezid, you're going to pick dalad minim b'mezid. It says why? Because the whole concept that a shoygi needs kapara is really a chiddush ha-Torah. It's a big chiddush that a shoygi needs a kapara. So when the Torah told us mefurish that a shoygi needs kapara, like the chatas comes for the chayvi krisis b'shoygi, so there the chayvi krisis b'shoygi brings the chatas. But to tell me that the oil is mechaper for an aver b'shoygi that the Torah never even told us is a problem, mechatesi. I think that Ramban goes against the spirit of everything we just discussed. We're saying that you're right, a shoygig shouldn't need kapara in the sense that what he did wasn't done with intent, but at the same time, every shoygig is a pesher. Ben Yonah says that every shoygig is karev ma'id l'mezid. He's very, very similar to the mezid. You were over on Isra Taira, Yishamer l'cha. Ben Yonah has a deraisa for every shoygig. Yishamer l'cha yishmar nafshach ba'id. So to say that it's for the Ramban's chiddush that it doesn't make sense that somebody is nevela b'shoygig, she need kapar. That's what the oil is coming for. Tzarich iyun a little bit in light of all this Torah. All right, so the Mishnah continued, and the Mishnah said, "Ein l'ksuba." So this woman now gets a get from her original husband, from the second man that she married mistakenly. She gets no ksuba from either one. Now, the fact that there's no ksuba from the second husband, that's obvious. They were never really married. But the question is, why no ksuba from the original husband? My time, says the Gemara, "Ein l'ksuba." Why? Because my time, it's kidding Rabbanu ksuba. Why would the Rabbanu misakin that a married woman gets a ksuba? The reason is because the person shouldn't be so quick to divorce his wife. It is financial consideration. Then it'll slow down before he gives her a get. So, in this case, do we want him to not be quick to divorce his wife? To the contrary, we want him to have his finger on the trigger. Because the whole idea is we want him to give her a get. That's the halacha. Over here, that's exactly what we want. Tosfos asks, incidentally, that works very nicely according to the man that holds ksuba is the rabbanon. But there's a man that holds ksuba is the raisa. So, according to the man ksuba is the raisa, this gemara wouldn't stim. So, I entice the second tosis on the yomit. Ein la peiros v'loy mezoinis v'loy balois. The other schusim that a married woman has ordinarily from her husband, this woman would not have from either one of these men either. Says the Gemara, why not? Because tanai ksuba ki ksuba domi. Because these chiyuvim are listed in the ksuba, not as ksuba, but as tanai ksuba. So that's something that we'll obviously discuss a lot in Masechtas Ksubas. So tanai ksuba is ksuba domi. Just like she loses her schus of ksuba, as we just mentioned, so too she doesn't get the tanai ksuba either. Notlo mizel mizel. The Mishnah said that what if she would take one of these tanai ksuba that she's not really entitled to, she would chop it. Do we take it away from her? Yeah, we do. We take it away from her. Says Mar Pshita, she's not entitled to it. If somebody takes something that doesn't belong to him, then obviously we take it away from them. So why should this be any different? Says the Gemara, Ma'ad Tema, I would have thought, given the tough salim afkinamina, it's only the Rabbanan that she doesn't get it, but maybe b'dievet, if she took it, she keeps it. Kamash malah, no. This is a little bit to do with the sugi of Takfu Kayin, which is a difficult sugi in the first parak Masechtas Vav Metzia, and obviously not for today. The Mishnah continued and said, perhaps the biggest chiddush, and that is that not only is this woman supposed to leave both of these men, her real husband and the man that she was living with, Be'isser, but let's say she continued to live with them and had a child, whether she had a child from the first husband or from the second husband, each one of those sons are going to be mamzerim. The Mishnah said, Havlat mamzer, says the Gemara. So before the Gemara gets really into the halach of the Mishnah, which has ramifications literally throughout Sha'as, as we'll see, but the Gemara is first going to digress a little bit and then come back up to speed to our sugya. So let's see. Tanan Hasan, we learned to the Mishnah, Ein Tomei Min HaTamei Al HaTar. That if somebody has Tfuah, and part of the Tfuah is Tamei, Sheretz touched it, and part of the Tfuah is Tar, and this person now has a mitzvah to give Trumah. So the Mishnah says that you should not take from the Tamei part of the Tfuah to give use as Trumah, but rather you should take the Tahar part of the Tfuah and be and pater everything else with the chelik that's tar. So the truma itself should not be tamei, the imtar. I mean, let's say you use the tamei as truma, bishoygig, if you did a bishoygig, truma say truma, then it works. The mezid, if you did a mezid, loy osav loy klum, then it doesn't work. My loy osav loy klum, what does it mean? Loy osav loy klum, Amar Rav Chizda said, loy osav loy klum, kol ikar. It's not chal any kedushas truma at all. Meaning, da filu ahi griva, even that one strand of truma that he gave, the tefuah that he used for truma, it's not even chal truma, it becomes tevel again. The truma is ineffective. Rav Nosson, Rav Ishiya said, just means l'sakin es hashirayim. It just means that you can't ponder up everything else with the truma that you gave. But as far as that griva itself goes, the truma, there's no question, aval truma havi, the truma that you gave, is certainly going to be truma. So before we go weiter, why is it that ain't tarmim menatar latar? So one thing we're going to see clearly in the Gemara, it's a din derabanan. Whatever the reason is, it's something that's only asr midrabanan, it's not something that's going to be asr midairaisa. But what is the reason for the issue? Says machlik is Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says that the reason ain't tarmim menatame alatar, so this is a three-word Rashi, mishum hafsid kayin. Because the halach is that a kohen is not allowed to eat truma tameya. He can have hanah from truma tameya. We had it not long ago in the daf. So he's allowed to have hanah from truma tameya, but he can't eat the truma tameya. So if you're going to give him truma that's tamei, his hanah that he can have in it is going to be limited. So mishum hefsed kohen, the chachamim said, don't give him truma tameya, give him better truma tahira. Tosfos says that this is already based on a din da'iraisa that the Gemara is going to mention on Amud Beis, and that is there's a halacha of ein termin min hara ala yafa. That anytime you have a kri of tefuah, so you should always take the best part of it and give that to the kohen. Don't take the bad part of your tefuah. Give the better part of your tefuah. So there's a halacha of ein termin min hara ala yafa. Says Tosfos, this is an example of ra ala yafa. Why is it ra? It's not physically worse, but being that one is tummy and one is tahar, so the one that's tummy will be considered inferior to the one that's tahar, because the one that's tahar, the kohen will be able to eat, and the one that's tummy, like we said, he'll only be able to have enough from it, but he won't be able to eat it. So therefore, it's considered raw next to the tummy. Tosfos says that it's even more chomer than a regular raw layafa, because raw layafa usually they're both raw lachila. Here, the raw is not even raw lachila. Therefore, it's even more chomer than an ordinary raw layafa, and it's for that reason that the chomim said that ein termin min hatame alatar. I saw Rav Chanan and Kovis Aris asks a nice shayla, small paragraph, and he blibes Sarachian. His kash is that we know that Allah is not allowed to make truma tame. To make truma tameh, you have to protect the shmartem as mishmeres trumaisai. You have to watch truma, make sure it doesn't become tameh. So Rabbi Chanan's kasha is that if you can't be metame truma, mehai taima, if you have tefuah that's tameh, it should be aser to make it truma. Because what's the difference if I make the truma tameh or if I make the tameh truma? At the end of the day, I'm affecting the same thing. I now have truma tmeya in the veld. And he says, "Dugma lezois motzino mesechtes nazar." There's a halacha that a nazar is not allowed to go into a beis akvaris. So the Gemara says that just like a nazar can't go into a beis akvaris, if somebody's in a beis akvaris and he's makabel nazirus, he says, "I reini nazar." So it's machloikis Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish. You get malchus bal ta'achar. So it's one of the yeshiva shasugis that you learn in yeshiva. A nazar be beis akvaris. But says Rabbi Chanan, you see what's the svar of nazar be beis akvaris? Because what's the difference if you bring the nazar to the tumah, the tumah to the nazar. It's the same exact thing. So just like a nazar beveis akfaris is over the iser of a nazar being metame himself, so too being metame truma, making something tame truma, should be the same thing. That's Rabbi Chanan's Zahara. He plies with the tzarachin. But either way, so that's pshat in this halacha. So we have a machloikis over here of chizrim nasim Rabbi Yoshi, where somebody went bim mezid, and he was toirim minat tame alatar. So the lashon mishnah was leyasav leklum. We have a machloikis amirayim. What the definition of leyasav leklum is? Rav Chizda said leyasav leklum means kol ikar, nothing. The truma was not chal. Which, if you think about it for a second now, is a tremendous chiddush. Because we just said that midairaisa, the truma should be chal. It's only midirabbanan that you can't be toirim min haraliyof. Whatever the pshat is, it's a din derabbanan that you can't be toirim min hatame alatar. So midairaisa, the truma was chal. It means midairaisa, I have truma. Truma has kedusha. Truma has to be given to a kohen. There are a lot of implications on halacha when something becomes truma. How could the rabbanan go and say leyosav leklum? Tremendous chiddush, right? So we'll see that. But that is the topic of the next two daf. But That is Rav Chisda Shita, and that's what Rav Yeshe argues. And he said, also like Klum just means that the rest you would have to give Truma again. But to say that what you gave is not Truma, that you can't say, there's no question that will be Truma, says the Gemara. Rav Chisda, Yamak Rav Nasim Rav Yeshe, Rav Chisda didn't hold like Rav Nasim Rav Yeshe. Now, why Rav Nasim Rav Yeshe didn't hold like Rav Chisda? That's obvious. The Gemara doesn't have to speak that out. But the question is, why did Rav Chisda say that even the Truma that you gave, you have to redo? So he said it's a Svara de Rabbanon. Because the E, Amrit Habi Truma, because if you're going to tell me that the Truma that you gave is Truma, Zim in the bunch of Alei Mafrish, then there's a good possibility that this person will not go and give Truma again from the rest of his Tvuah, which even you, Rav Nasim Reishia, hold, you have to do. Meaning everybody agrees that the Truma is not Truma in the sense that you have to give Truma again from the rest of the Tvuah. The question is, what you were already Mafrish as Truma, being that Medeiraisa it's Truma, do you have to throw that back into the pot, do that all over again or not? So Rav Nasim Reishia said that you don't have to. Rav Chisda said, you do have to. He said, you know why? Because otherwise, people are going to be totally confused. You're telling me that the Truma that I gave is Truma, but at the same time, you have to re-mafris Truma from everything else. Doesn't make sense. People will end up not being mafris Truma again from the remainder, and if they're not going to be mafris Truma again from the remainder, so you're going to come out with a problem. Since for that reason, Rav Chisda said, the only way we can get people to give Truma again is if you say that the Truma that you gave is not Truma. Because if the Truma that you gave is Truma, people will not give Truma again from everything else. But the Gemara asks, why is this different than a Mishnah Masech Tes Trumas? The Mishnah says, we'll go through these Mishnahs quick because we're going to learn some Trumas here, and it's not really our sugya. So, if somebody was giving Truma and he took a cucumber as his Truma, and then he tasted it and he saw it's bitter, or Avatiach, or if it was an Avatiach, a Melu, and it turned out it was spoiled. So the Halacha is Truma, the Truma's Chal. However, you have to give Truma again. What was the problem with this Truma? Why Yachsav Yitrim? Because you were Terim and Ara. You're not supposed to be Terim and Ayala Yof. But you have over here an idea where you have to give Truma again, but at the same time, the Truma that you gave was Chal, which is Keneged as far as Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said that if you're going to say the Truma's Chal, people won't be Yachsav Yitrim. That's why, in our case, he said, you have to say that the Truma's not Chal, because people won't be Yachsav Yitrim. Here you have a Mefurash Mishnah, where it's Truma, the Yachsav Yitrim, says the Gemara, Shoygig, Amezah Karamis, what Shaychis? There it's a halacha where it happened to Shoygig. Shoygig, Layavadi Surah. Over there, you were a Shoygig. Mazid Kavadi Surah. But in our case, you were amazed. What's the difference? Where you were a Shaygig, so they were not concerned that you won't give Truma a second time because you don't have any chazakah that you necessarily do anything wrong. But in our case, where you were amazed the first time, so we're already dealing with a questionable character. So now he's going to look for any loophole to get out of giving Truma again. If you're going to tell him that the first Truma is Chal, so this person is a good chash, maybe won't want to give Truma a second time. But the Gemara says if that Mishnah is talking about a Shaygig, then I have a different kasha. Rami Shaygig, a Shaygig. In our Mishnah regarding someone who's Torah Minat Tomei Al Atar, the Mishnah said, B'shoygig, Truma say Truma, B'shoygig the Truma's Chal. And Hasam Tani, but over there it said, Truma V'yachzer V'yitroim, that you have to give Truma all over again. So you have a stira, right? Our Mishnah, when you were Torah Minat Tomei Al Atar, B'shoygig, everything's fine. And over there, when you were Torah Kishos V'nimtsas Mar, Avatech V'nimtsas Aruach, so you were Torah Minat Rala Yafa, B'shoygig, so the Truma's Chal, that's true, but Yachzer V'yitroim. So how come in our Mishnah it's not Yachzer V'yitroim? Says the Gemara Hasam over there, although you were a Shaygig, not amazed, like we just mentioned, but you're a Shaygig Karev L'mezid, the Boyle L'mitame. Again, the Svara of Shaygig Karev L'mezid, like we spoke at earlier, because you should have tasted it. How would you have tasted the Truma? I thought the Truma has to go to the Kayan. So you shouldn't speak out that what you could have done was you could have been mafresh one of Avatiach, cut it. That Avatiach itself, one part will be Truma, and the rest of it will now be Roy Lachila. Tasted it, and if it's fine, then you could use that same avatich or more of those avatichim to use as truma for the rest of the creep. But over there, you're a shegu karv lemezid, so therefore, the halach is yachzer v'yitroy. The Gemara asks another kasha, Rami mezid amezid. Och, Tony over here, Rav Chisda said, b'mezid yasa klok. And hasam tanan, another mishnah, Tony mishnah, in nakav al nakav. If somebody had two plants that were growing in Eretz Yisrael, but they're not attached to the ground, they're in a pot. One is a Otzitz, that is nakuv, so there's a hole in it. So from a halachic standpoint, the significance is that we say that it's being yonik directly from the ground, so you chayv to give chumas and maestris from what is growing inside that midday raisa, and the one was not nakuv, the other one didn't have a hole, and as a result, from a halachic standpoint, we look at it as only chayv and chumas and maestris midrabanan, you don't have to give midday raisa. So if somebody had two such pots, one is chayv and trumas midereis. One's chayv midrabanan, and you gave truma from the enoy nakuv. That's the one that's only chayv midrabanan. Ala nakuv to the one that's chayv midereis. So truma v'yachzav yitroim. So you weren't supposed to do that. However, it's chal truma v'yachsav yitrin. Now over here you did it b'mezid, and again you have that stira on the one hand truma, on the other hand yachsav yitrin, which is keneged svar Rav Chisda. So says the Gemara, no, it's not a kasha. Goes, what's the whole svar Rav Chisda? That if you're going to tell me it's truma, then I won't be yachsav yitrin. That's only true if it's in one keli. So you have one keli. I gave truma. You're telling me the truma's chal, but you have to give more truma. Doesn't make sense. So if the truma is chal, I'm going to end up not giving more truma. But that's only where it's all one keli. But if I have two kelim and I gave truma from one of the kelim, and you tell me that the truma is chal, but give truma again. Being that we're discussing two different kelim, there's less of a chash that people will be confused. And over there, it's not such a stira. So you can say truma v'yachsav yitrin. Betray money tzayis. Two kelim, people will listen. Chan mona, that's where we're concerned about all the issues. Loy tzayis. Gemara asked, Rav Nosson, Rav Oishia, argued with Rav Chisda. And he said that the truma is chal. It's only not chal. Yosef leikom, the Mishnah just meant to be matted the shirayim. And Yosef leikom is only the sakin shirayim. Abba truma havi. Might me all the time, why is it different than the following Mishnah? If somebody gave Truma this time from the Atzis Nakov, that's the Atzis that was Chayv and Truma's Medei Raisa. On the one that was not Chayv Medei Raisa, Truma say Truma, the Truma's Chal, Voloy Teyachel. However, you can't give it to the Kohen. The Kohen can't eat it. Achi Yoitzi Elah Truma, Maisa Melkam Acher, until you give Truma again. So what's the Kasha? The Kasha is that in our Mishnah, even Rav Nosson Rav Oishia didn't say that the Kohen can't eat it until you give Truma again. It sounded like the Truma's Chal, give it to the Kohen, he can do whatever he wants. Here we're adding a piece. Voloy Teyachel, Achi Yoitzi Elah Truma, Maisa Melkam Acher. Tosfos asks, why is this a Kasha? Only Rav Nosson Rav Oishia. Why is it not a kasher of Chizda also? All right, so that's not for now. Says the Gemara says Shani Hocha. No, it's different because in our case the Midei Raisa Truma Al Yasi. In our case, really Midei Raisa was a good Truma because although you were Torah Min Arala Yofa, Minatame Alatar, but that's only a Svar Rabbanan. Midei Raisa the Truma Schal. Kid Rabbi Loi. How do I know that? Dom Rabbi Loi. Minai Torah Min Arala Yofa Truma Si Truma. How do I know that if somebody gives Truma from the bad for the good, the Truma Schal? Dichsev because the pasuk says V'lay Sisu Olav Chet Barim Chemes Chel Boy Mimenu. That the Torah is saying that a person should give truma from the better part of the kri. However, and why should you do that? Because if not, you're going to get some sort of chet. But the Gemara's kash is, v'mein kodesh nesiyas chet loma. The Gemara says a nice diak. That if the truma is not chal, then you didn't do anything wrong. It only makes sense you did something wrong if it was chal the truma. But if I'm going to give the truma again anyways, because what I did was pointless, then why would there be any chet anyway? So from the fact that there's a chet when you turn an arala yofa, tells me that when you turn an arala yofa, really the truma is chal. Mikan lo turn an arala yofa, she truma se truma. So the Mishnah that's discussing Ein Turma Menat Tomei Ala Tahar, there, the whole issue is in the Shidur Rabbanan. Midei Raisa, Truma was Chal. So therefore, Rav Nosson Rav Oishia says, Midei Raisa, the Truma is Chal. So Midei Raisa, it has Kedusha. And Midei Raisa, so you can give it to the Kohen. The Kohen's allowed to eat it. It's only Le'yosef Le'klum. The Rabbanan said you have to be Masak in the Shiraim. You'd have to give another Truma. You'd have to give Truma again for everything else. But in this Mishnah, in Anokov, Al She'inei Nokov, here you have Dei Raisa issues. You have Dei Raisa issues. So although the Chachamim said treat it as Truma, but it's not real Truma even Midei Raisa. So therefore, until you give Truma again, there's no halacha to give it to the Kohen. Even the Kohen has a din of Loi. Period. So before we go weiter, just to get the basic machloikis, we're done really with the Truma's part, but just to get the basic machloikis over here, again, the halach is that you're not allowed to be toirin min atome ala tahar. So if you have tfua, part of it is tummy, part of it is tar, if you want to eat any part of this, you're going to have to give Truma first. So it's a Mishnah, when you give Truma, you have to take the tahar part as Truma, but you can't give the tummy part as Shua. What if you did it? So if you did it b'shoyig, everything's fine. But what if you did it b'mezid? Mishnah says, le'yosav le'klum. No, it's what you did was nothing. What does le'asav le'klum mean? A machlikas amayron. Rav Chisda said literally, le'asav le'klum. The truma that you were mafresh isn't truma. If you want to eat it, you're going to have to give truma all over again. What you were mafresh doesn't have any kedusha. Le'asav le'klum kipshuter. That's what Rashi says, no. It's an oversimplification of the halacha le'asav le'klum. Because le'asav le'klum just means that you have to give truma again. But regarding what you were mafresh, that's certainly going to be truma. Why is that certainly going to be truma? Because you were mafresh truma, and midday raisa, even if you're toirim mina tome alator, the truma's chal. It's only midday rabbanan that the truma's not chal. But being that midday raisa, the truma's chal, it's for that reason, you cannot say that loy also v'loy klum. Why did Rav Chisda say loy also v'loy klum even for the truma? He also knows that this is only a din de rabbanan. So how's it possible? Why would it be that it shouldn't work? So Rav Chisda said, because I'm concerned. I'm concerned that if you're going to tell me that the truma is chal, then people are going to be confused. You're sending mixed messages. On the one hand, you're telling me the truma works, but on the other hand, you tell me you have to give truma again. It doesn't make sense. So if you want people to give truma again, you better say the truma doesn't work. Because if the truma works, then I'm telling you now, people are not going to give truma again. So the Gemara is going to ask, and I'll just speak it outside, Reb Chizki, you have a wonderful svara. You're worried that if you're going to say that Truma was chal, people won't give Truma again. So therefore, what are you saying? The Truma's not chal? But the Truma was chal midday raisa. How could the Rabbanon go and say that something that midday raisa is Truma is suddenly not Truma because of some sort of gzera that they're worried about? And the truth is, this kasha really goes to the core of many, many different areas of halacha. That's why, thus the hashtag, from the most often quoted dafin and shas, daf peites in Yevamos, daf tzadik in Yevamos, how far did the Torah give the Chachamim koyach to be oikir davim in a Torah? How far does that go? Meaning, over here, they're going to take something that midday rice is truma, and they're going to say, no, it's not going to be truma because we're concerned about some sort of gzera. You have a right, Chacham have a right to be oikir davim in a Torah. The sugi of yesh koyach biat Chacham lakadav in a Torah, ein koyach biat Chacham lakadav in a Torah, is a sugi in Yevamos, right here in Perek Isha Rabba, and it starts with the next words of the Gemara. So it says the Gemara, Amalei Rabba the Rav Chizda. So Rabba asked Rav Chizda, Lidi dach, according to you, the amrit le'yosav alei klom, according to you, that hold, that this person that was Torah in a Tamei alei yof, midday raisa, the truma was nothing called ikur. Even that one strand of tfua is not considered to have a my time. What's the reason? This kasha is me ikur midi the midday raisa havi truma. Is it possible to have a situation where midday raisa was chal truma umishum dilma pasha, and because of a gzera of kur rabbanon l'chul and rabbanon said that it shouldn't be truma, it should be chulav v'chi bezdin masdin lakir dovim and atayra. This doesn't have a koyach to be. So Amalei Rav Chizda said that before I explain myself, va'atloy tizbura, are you really of the opinion that Bezin doesn't have a koyach to be oikir davim in a Torah? I'll prove to you that they do. And this is what this all had to do with our Mishnah. But now we learned in our Mishnah, to somebody else, and then her husband came back. So what's the halacha? What happens if she had children from any one of these men? Both of these children are going to be mamzerim. Frank the Gemara, Mamzer. I understand that if she has a son from the second man that Charles a Mamzer, because she was really married to the first person. It was a mistake that she got married to the second person. She was an HSH. An HSH that has a child, the child is a Mamzer. Elami Rishoy Namai. How could the child be a Mamzer from the first man? Ishtoihi. The Yisrael Ma'al Yehu. It means Midday Raisa, there's no way that child is a Mamzer. Midday Raisa was his wife. This is all of the Rabbanon Sugya. Midday Raisa is his wife. And still you're saying Mamzer, so you'll tell me. Before we go weiter, so what? It's a chumrah. Maybe the Rabbanon just said the chumrah treat him as a mamzer. The problem is every mamzer is a double-edged sword. It's a chumrah and a kula. Because just like a mamzer is not allowed to marry a bas yisrael, a mamzer has a kula. He's allowed to marry a mamzeres. So a regular yisrael can marry a mamzeres. A mamzer can marry a mamzeres. So Chizda's taina was that by saying that this child that was born from the first husband will be treated as a mamzer, you're saying a tremendous kula. Because you're going to be matter this child to marry a mamzeres. How could you do that? The Torah says you can't marry a mamzeres. How could Rabbanah say you could marry? The Torah says, yesh koich biyad chachomim. The chachomim have a koich. The Torah gave the chachomim a right to be oikudavim in a Torah. Rav Chizda says, what are you getting all worked up about? My chiddish in truma. It's a Mishnah Yevamos. How else did you learn this Mishnah? Bishomal Yehu. Let's just finish the Gemara inside. Vikosharina lebe mamzeres. You see, you'd be mad to this person marry mamzeres. Amalei. So Rabbi told Rav Chizda, hochi yama Shmuel. I'll tell you what the great Shmuel said. Mamzeres. That although the Mishnah said his child's a mamzer, it's only l'chumra that he's a mamzer. L'kula, not a mamzer. Meaning, also be mamzeres. V'chein ki also Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, who was the Mara, the astronaut, all said the same psak. All the G'dayli Apoiskim said the same thing. Also be mamzeres. Iva, my Karli mamzer. So in what way is this child a mamzer? L'Oisri, the Bas Yisrael. It's only going to be l'chumra. A little bit vaita. Shalach, Rav. What's that? Shalach le Rav Chizda. That's a good point. Shalach le Rav Chizda. Like the Chatziyev and the Chatzim and Chayin. Shalach le Rav Chizda the Rabba. Biyad Rav Acher by Rav Huno. So Rav Chizda sent Rabba. So Rabba and Rav Chizda were going at it. They had this conversation. So he sent them a shliach. The shliach was Rav Acher by Rav Huno. And he sent them the following question. Ve'im Bezen Masa and Lakhidav Man HaTorah. Is it true that Bezen doesn't have a kirch to be Ekhidav Man HaTorah? Again, Rav Chizda said this huge chiddish of someone who's Torah and Atame Al HaTor, Le'osav, Le'klum, that even the truma he gave is not truma. Although Midei Raisa, it should be truma. The Rabbanon said it shouldn't be truma. The Rabbanon took something that's truma and said it won't be truma. And Rabbah was, how's that possible? So First, you try being a raya from Yavamis. That's not a raya. Said, I have another raya. The raya is, Me'eba say, Adam Yerushas Ishtoi, we Ketana. If somebody's married to a Ketana, how does somebody marry a Ketana? So there's two ways. You can be married to a Ketana with a Raisa, you can be married to a Ketana with a Rabbana. Ketana herself has no das to accept Kedushin. If her father was Makabal Kedushin on her behalf, she's married with a Raisa. If her father's not alive, she's a Yosoima. There's a concept of the Yosoima B'chayaviyah. But if she's a Yosoima, then her brother or her mother can marry her off as well. Then the Kedushin is the Rabbana. If she is Mimayan, she decides, I don't want to be married. Although a woman who decides ordinarily, I don't want to be married anymore, it's a little bit more complicated than that. She has to get a get. And he decides whether he wants to give her a get. But in this case, Kedushay Durabonon, Kedushay Tana, she could be Mimayan, she could leave her marriage, and she's going to be out. The halacha says that a husband is Yerush's wife. So the question is, somebody was married to a Ketana, and she died when she was a Ketana, lo yaleinu. So the question is, does he Yarshin his wife? Or does he not yarshin his wife? So me'emes hayodim yarshin the ketana. When does he yarshin his wife? So machloek is tana. Bishamay says mishet hamloid b'koy maso. When she becomes already bas mitzvah, meaning if she died taka when she was a ketana, she's not going to get anything. Had she been bas mitzvah already, then she'll get. Beisulay mishet kones chuppa. What matters is whether or not she had chuppa. The Gemara will explain this. Rabbi Eliezer Omer mishet hiboil when she has a bi'ilo. V'yarsha umetamalo v'chelz begin a truma. Once she reaches those stages, whether it was Kremas according to Beshamai, Tikonos according to Beisilvol, or Tibala according to Rabbi Eliezer, then not only does he yarshin her, but he's also metameter if he was a Kohen, and she can eat truma, she becomes king and kasper. So the Gemara explains first. Beshamai, Yom Mishatamai Bekremaso, Beshamai says that when does he yarshin her? When she's Tamai Bekremaso, Afal Gafdaloy Nichtasol Chopa. It sounds like even if she, Beisilvol says, once this Chopa. Beshamai says, no, it's not to do with Chopa, it has to do with whether she became a Gedoyla. So the Gemara asks, Akash, it can't be. Because even a regular Kedusha Gedoyla, the halach is that if all you are is an arus, all you had was kedushin, all you had was erusin, enu yarsha, venu metamala, he doesn't yarshin her. So there's no shaila that the only time a husband would yarshin his ketana is only if there was chuppah. So what does it mean? Beishamai says, mishe tamid b'kaymasa, and Beisilul says, mishe tichnasa l'chuppah. Beishamai also has to agree that you need chuppah. So the Gemara says, you're right. Eima mishe tamid b'kaymasa viti kanes l'chuppah. Vadi you had to have chuppah. But whereas, according to Beis Hillel, it's enough that there was chuppah, even though she's a ketana, even though she was a ketana when she died. According to Beis Shammai, she would have had a head chuppah, and on top of that, she would have had to become a gedoyla already. But had she died when she was a ketana, he wouldn't yashin her. The Gemara just says, V'hachi come to Beis Shammai, this is what Beis Shammai told Beis Hillel. Dikamritu, mishatechon es chuppah, you said, it's tali in chuppah, i'am de b'kei masim, if she was a gedoyla first, true. Rabbi Leza was the third shita. He said once has a bila. Rabbi Leza once said that anything a ketana does is nothing. Even her bila is not a bila. So why does what does bila have to do with anything? Says the Gemara, you're right. Once she becomes a gdola and then she has a bila. What's the bottom line? Ketani miyas yarsha. The bottom line is what you see from this machlokes. Bisul, Bisham, Rabbi Leza, confusing machlokes. Very unclear in the Mishnah. We need a lot of Gemara to explain it. Bottom line is we have a sugya where a man was married to a ketana, midirabonon, and then she died, at some point, the halacha would be, everybody would agree, he can yarshin this woman. Freik the Gemara, v'hocha, dimidei raisav was yarisla. She was only married to this man, midirabonon. It was a kedusha dirabonon. Midei raisa, they were never married. So when she dies, midei raisa, she's not married. Who yarshins her midei raisa? Her father yarshins her midei raisa. Umid the rabbanon yaris labal. Now the rabbanon are saying that the husband should yarshin her. So said Rab Chizda, isn't this a makar that Bezdin could be oiker dover minatera? Midei raisa, she's not married. That means midei raisa, her father's entitled to her estate, whatever that estate is. It's only midei rabbanon that the husband's coming now with a koyach to yarshin. So if it's only midirabanan, then you have a raya, then the rabbanan have a kirk to be oikidav minatera. Says the Gemara, this is not a raya to be oikidav minatera. This is already a whole different sugya. Hefker bezdin. Hefker. Dom Rav Yitzchak, because Rav Yitzchak said, nah, Hefker bezdin, Hefker. How do you know the Hefker bezdin, Hefker? Shenemar. Kol ha-shelo yovig l'shleishas ha-yomim, batzas, ha-sorim, v'askenim, yechrom, kol rechushoy, v'hu yibot. Have you spoken about this passage before? That Ezra, when he comes up to Eretz Yisrael, and he sees how terrible the matzav is, so he calls a big meeting, everyone's going to have to come to the town square at a certain time, I will not speak out the Chassam Sofer, and he says, whoever doesn't come, yechrom, kol rechushoy, we're going to confiscate all his property, v'hu yibot b'kala goyla, he's going to no longer be part of Klal Yisrael. What do you mean? Ezra has a koyach of Yechrom called Rechushoy. You see clearly that, yeah, he would have had a koyach. This is how you know Hefker Bezdin Hefker. But there's another makar to Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Rabbi Elazar Amar Mehacha, a different pasuk. Eila hanachlois ashenachalu Elazar hakoyin v'Yeshua benun v'roshei ha'avois lematis b'nei Yisrael v'chima inyin roshem itzal avois. The pasuk referred to roshei ha'avois. What does Rashi Avis mean? The Roshim are the leaders and the Avis are the fathers. What do leaders and fathers have to do with each other? Elohim Elohim to teach me a halacha. Ma Avis Manchil B'nei, just like a father has a koyach to be manchil his children. Kol Mashe Yirtzu. Af Roshim Manchil Mesa'am. Kol Mashe Yirtzu. So to the Roshim, this is a loss in Yishuv Benun, they're dividing Eretz Yisrael. So they had a right to decide what goes to you, what goes to you. This was something that they had a right to do. And you see from the fact that they're able to be manchil, that Hefker Bezdin Hefker. So we have two Makaris to Hefker Bezdin Hefker. One Makar is Sefer Ezra, the other Makar is Sefer Yeshua. You have to know Nach for both of them. But either way, Ezra and Yeshua, those are the two Makaris. We'll start with this, Mietz Hashem, tomorrow. But Shkolim Daf Gimel, we spoke about Shkolim Daf Gimel. We mentioned these two Makaris. The Gemara Mesach to Shkolim, Yerushalmi and Shkolim only brings Ezra, doesn't bring Sefer Yeshua. There's a Chassam Sofer that suggests that there'd be a Nafkamin al Halacha based on a Rajba Masech Tzgitin, Daf Lamed Vav and Beis. There's a beautiful Avni Nezer and Dvar Avram. There's a lot of nice Torah that we spoke at a very, very, very long time ago. Just one thing, we mentioned Sefer Ezra. What does Sefer Ezra have to do with Inyana D'Yoyma? So you're going to say in Slichas shortly, the Slichas say that on Asar B'Tevis, three things happen. What are the three things that happen on Asar B'Tevis? Eskira motzai kashekira ani b'sholish makos b'chodesh hazeh hikani. Three bad things happen during Chodesh Teves. What are the three things? The first thing was that on the eighth day of Teves, Talmai HaMelech called the Shivim Skenim and he forced them to translate the Torah into Greek. And Chazal say that when that happened, 3 days of darkness descended upon the world, and it was Ches Teves, Tes Teves, and Yud Teves. So Yud Teves was the third of the 3 days of Choshech. The second bad thing that happened was Zayamti B'Tisha B'Av. On the ninth day of Teves, B'Chlima V'Chefer, Chosach Me'olai Me'il Hoid V'Tzefer. Yaakov, maybe you can help us out with this. Torah, Torah B'Av, Hanoisin Imre Shefer. The bottom line is that we're talking about a great person that passed away on the ninth day of Teves, and you know who that person was? Who? Ezra HaSofer. That was Ezra HaSofer. And of course, Asar B'Teves, the tenth day of Teves, is when Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian army laid siege on Yerushalayim, which ultimately would result in Churban Beis HaMikdash. But Ezra HaSofer, Tes Teves, Asar B'Teves, we mourn the Petira of Ezra HaSofer.